This morning I'd like to explore together with you the mitzvah of bdikat chametz, searching the home for chametz. It's a very unique mitzvah. We spend days, some of us weeks, cleaning the home for Pesach, scrubbing and scouring and searching. And then we get to the night of the 14th, or La'arba'asar, and we check the home as the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Pesachim, instructs, and all the cracks and crevices and all the nooks and crannies. And the question is, why? What are we actually doing? Right? After all, we know the home is clean and already kosher for Pesach. Some of us, for instance, have been kosher for Pesach for days and have been cooking already, right? You can't leave the cooking to the last minute. So do you think you're going to actually find chametz? The home is chametz free. Some people even put signs at the entrance to their homes or on the doors to their apartments, chametz free. No entry for chametz. So what are we doing? And this is, after all, the season of four questions. So this morning I'd like to ask four questions. Number one, what is the reason for the mitzvah of bdikat chametz? Number two, what are we accomplishing in light of the fact that we know that the home is already chametz free? Number three, we'll see that it's sufficient to make the bitul, this verbal declaration, where we declare the chametz ownerless like the dust of the earth. And so why do we have to make the bidikat chametz if right afterwards we're going to go ahead and nullify the chametz, right? If we're concerned that there might be chametz in the home, well, we're going to nullify it, and we'll see that the nullification would seem to suffice, maybe at least on a Torah level, but would suffice. So why are we making bidikat chametz if then we're going to go ahead and be mevatel the chametz, nullify the chametz? And finally, the fourth question is, what's this custom with putting out 10 pieces of bread? I mean, again, the home's been kosher for Pesach, maybe for days already. And then you're searching it. I mean, is it just a game, or is there some gain? But then you make this bitul, right? But beforehand, you take this clean home that's certified kosher l'Pesach, and you spread out 10 pieces of bread. I mean, isn't that dangerous? Maybe you'll lose one. Right? Maybe a chuldah, a rodent, a rat will come in, hopefully not, and take a piece away, like the Mishnah discusses what happens if a mouse comes. But it's counterintuitive. Why would you take this home, which is already kosher l'Pesach, and put out 10 pieces of bread? What is the reason for that custom? So those are our four questions this morning. Take a look at source number one. This is a pasuk from Parashat Bo. Shivat yamim matzot tochelu. For 7 days you shall eat matzot. Ach bayom harishon. However, on the literally first day, but in this case, yom harishon refers to erev Pesach, the morning or the eve of Pesach. That's the yom that precedes the night of the 15th. Tashbitu sor mi batechem. You are to destroy all leaven in your homes. Tashbitu sor mi batechem. And this is actually mitzvah aseh min haTorah, to destroy the chametz. Now, how do we accomplish that mitzvah? Right? For some of us, it's, you know, eating all the leftover shalach manos from Purim. But the Targum Unklus there, here in source number two, already says, already gives us an insight as to how we observe this mitzvah min haTorah of Tashbitu. The Targum says, Biyoma kidma'a, on the previous day, meaning on Erev Pesach, Tivatlun, you are to nullify. Right? Tivatlun, milashon bitul. Tivatlun, chamira mibatechon. You are to nullify all the leaven, all the chametz in your homes. Okay? And that is what the Gemara says, that bitul suffices, the declaration that we make, and it's actually a machloket, whether that declaration needs to be a verbal declaration, or perhaps bitul belev suffices, so long as I intend in my heart to nullify the chametz, so then I'm not in possession of chametz. Okay, we'll see exactly the parameters of this mitzvah and how it relates to the mitzvah of bedikat chametz in a moment. But the Gemara here in source number 3 says that bedikat chametz is rabbinic. This mitzvah to search the home, the first Mishnah in Masechet Pesachim, to search and seek out all the chametz from all the nooks and crannies, all the cracks and crevices, that is midrabanan. And the Gemara there on Daf Dalid, Amud Bet, I just gave you a small little excerpt, but the Gemara there is discussing whether you can rely on, let's say, the testimony, the report, really, not a formal testimony, but the report of Nashim, Avadim, Ktanim, women, servants, children, if they tell you that the home has already been checked. And so the Gemara there, in that context, says, Kevan debdikat chametz midrabananhu. Since the mitzvah to search the home is only rabbinic, why? Demidoraita bevitul be'alma sagile. Since on a Torah level, we'll see what this means in a moment, but on a Torah level, it suffices. It's enough to just make this bitul, this declaration, to nullify your chametz. Himnuhu rabbanan bidrabbanan. The rabbis believed, they relied on Nashim Avadim Uktanim with this rabbinic mitzvah that is searching the home. Okay? So the mitzvah of bedikat chametz is rabbinic. It was instituted by the rabbis. We'll have to explain why, especially in light of what we just read, that it suffices to do bitul. It suffices to just nullify the chametz. That's how one can fulfill the mitzvah of tashbitu, and that's how one can, let's say, not in be possession of chametz, because of course there is an isur to be in possession of chametz, to own chametz, to have chametz in your possession, to own chametz in someone else's rishut, or in some other place, even if it's not, let's say, on your premises. There's an isur of bal yera'eh and bal yimatzeh. Can't be seen on you, can't be found on you. So Rashi explains, what is this expression, that bitul ba'alma sagilei, that it's enough just to make the bitul. What it would seem is that that suffices not to be in violation of the isur of bal yira'eh u'bal yimatzeh. In other words, even if I have chametz in my home, or even if I have chametz that I own in some other location, so long as I nullify that chametz, I'm not in violation of being in possession of that chametz. On a Torah level, that suffices. Bitul balmi, sagi. So Rashi says, dichtiv tashbitu, veloktiv tivaru. Because the mitzvah in a Torah is to destroy the chametz. But it doesn't say one must burn the chametz, for instance. And in fact, we know that there are other ways, as the Mishnah instructs, according to the Chachamim at least, to dispose of the chametz. We spoke about this the other week, especially on a Pesach, let's say, that Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbat, and you can't burn the chametz on Erev Pesach in a year like that. So what do? You give it a burial at sea, right? The Mishnah says you can dispose of it, you can cast it into the yam, right? Or the toilet, if you're not near a sea. Right? Bury, let's see. Or the Mishnah says you can disperse it into the wind. Mifazer la ruach. Okay? So there are other ways of ridding the home of chametz. And the hashpata delev hi hashpata. Rashi says that a hashpata of the heart is hashpata, meaning what Rashi's saying here is that it's enough to just intend to destroy the chametz, to make it ownerless, to make it like the dust of the earth. Okay? For Rashi, bitul belev is called bitul. It's a whole discussion. Machloket Rashi, Tosfot. We'll see how one fulfills this mitzvah of bitul, or how one accomplishes this bittul, how one performs the bittul. But for Rashi, it's enough to just intend to destroy the chametz, that you're no longer in possession of it, and then you're not over on the isur of bal yireh u bal yimatzei, because it's sufficient. That's the Gemara. D'midoraita b'vittul bal masakileh. Okay. However, Tosfot argues here in source number 5, where I've underlined, the Omer Ri, the Ri says, D'midoraita b'vittul bal masakileh mitam d'me'achar shebitlu heve hefker v'yatsa mirushuto umutar. Tosfot doesn't believe that it's sufficient to just intend that the chametz is no longer in your possession, but you have to be mafkir it. You have to declare it hefker. And so for Tosfot, it's not enough to just have bittul belev, to just intend in your heart that the chametz does not belong to you, but you have to verbally declare it. Okay? And make it hefker. And actually, we include both lishonot in the verbal declaration that we make. We say it should be like the dust of the earth, but we also declare it ownerless. And we declare it ownerless verbally. Now, again, we just said that it suffices to make this bittul. According to Rashi, you can do it in your heart, with your intentions. According to Tosfot, it has to be done verbally, as we explained. But it's enough to just be mevatel the chametz. So why did the rabbis come along and institute that we search the home? Or la'arba asar, that first Mishnah in Pesachim, on the eve of the 14th, we have to search the home. So there, Rashi, here in source number 6, explains, shelo ya'avor alav b'val yira'eh u'b'val yimatzeh. Why did the rabbis come along and institute bidikat chametz, so that one not be in violation of owning chametz, of having chametz in his possession? Now, what's difficult about that statement of Rashi in light of what we just saw? Well, we just said that it suffices to make the bittul, to declare the chametz ownerless. So why does Rashi say that then the rabbis are, or why does Rashi explain that the rabbis came along and instituted bidikat chametz again, if bittul suffices? Rashi just told us that bittul suffices. Okay, even bittul belev according to Rashi. So again, how do we interpret this statement of Rashi? Very difficult. The rabbis instituted bidika, bodkin, right? This is his comments on that first Mishnah in Pesachim. We search the home on the night of the 14th, but why, if bittul suffices? So the Ran here explains Rashi. Here in source number 7, the Ran on the Rif writes that what Rashi means here is that maybe a person, when he makes that bittul belev, maybe he doesn't do it wholeheartedly. Maybe he doesn't completely and sincerely want to make his chametz ownerless and nullify his chametz. Right? Maybe he doesn't want to nullify it. Maybe he has, I don't know, hundreds of dollars worth of expensive single malt scotch. Yep. Bottles of single malt scotch, which is liquid chametz, right? Maybe he's not interested in making it null and void or ownerless. So maybe there's a part of him that still wants to hold on to that chametz and is hoping that, you know, no one takes it. He puts it out on the curb and says, it's ownerless, it's not mine. But maybe he doesn't do that with a full heart. And so, therefore, as the Ran explains, we'll see in a moment, according to Rashi, the Chachamim came along and said it's not enough just to declare it ownerless, or for Rashi, nullify it in your heart. It doesn't suffice, right? Because you might not do it wholeheartedly, according to Rashi. And so therefore, the Chachamim came along. Yes, maybe on a Torah level, that's enough to not be in violation of owning chametz, right? But since the Chachamim understood that people, you know, the psychology of man and people might not be sincere when they make that declaration. So therefore, the Ran explains that according to Rashi, the Chachamim came along and instituted searching the home and ridding the home of any chametz. Again, it's not enough just to be mevatel the chametz. Maybe on a Torah level, not to be in violation of owning it, that would be enough. But not everyone, right, is going to do it wholeheartedly. So therefore, the Chachamim came along and said, you have to remove the chametz. You have to search the home and remove the chametz. Okay, let's take a look at the Ran, and then I'll take your question. Where I've underlined. Pirush Rashi Zal. Kidei shelo yavor bevali rev vali matzeh. V'hikshu betosfot. We'll see that Tosfot asks a question on Rashi. D'hakaimalan d'midoraita bevitul bal masagi. Tosfot says, but I don't understand. We see from the Gemara itself that it's sufficient, as we said, to nullify the chametz so as not to be in violation of bali rev vali matzeh. So why is Rashi explaining the reason for the takana of bedikat chametz, this takanat chazal, as to not be in violation of bali rev vali matzeh? Right? So skip to where I've underlined next. Ela mipnei shebitul ze talui b'machshavtan shel bnei adam. Oh, this bitul belev for Rashi is dependent on the individual's intentions, his machshava, his thought. Ve'ein deotehen shavot, and not everyone is of equal mind. Ve'efshar she yakilu b'kach ve'lo yutziuhu miliban legamrei. And therefore, it's possible that there will be a person who will want to be lenient, take certain liberties, and he won't completely rid the chametz from his heart. Again, according to Rashi, the bittul we're talking about is a bittul belev. So maybe his intentions are not completely true or good. He doesn't completely intend to nullify his chametz. So therefore, ra'u chachamim lahachmir shelo yaspik bittul. Therefore, the rabbis came along and said, at least the way Rashi understands, as explained here by the Ran, not enough just to be mevata the chametz, but rather, v'hitzrichuhu b'dika u'biur shehu maspik gamkein min haTorah. The rabbis came along and instituted b'dikat chametz. Why? To make sure that a person will, what? Won't be in violation of bali rev vali matzeh, because now it's not enough just to intend to nullify his chametz. He actually has to search for it and rid the home of the chametz. And then he reiterates at the bottom, where I've underlined, umashe hitzrichu chachamim b'dika b'chametz yoter mi b'shar isurim velo samchu al habitul. He compares it to other types of prohibitions. We spoke about that the other week, how chametz is unique. Look, there are other things that we're not permitted to eat, right? Other things that even impose a chiyuv karet. But we don't say that you have to, you know, search the home for those things and remove them and destroy them, right? So the Ran explains that the Chachamim, they instituted bedikat chametz and they were more machmir, right, with this than other isurim. Velo samchu ala bitul, and they, even though min haTorah, it's enough just to nullify the chametz, they didn't lean on it. They didn't rely on it. And they instituted bidikat chametz. Right? Kfar katavti sha'asu kein kidei lekayem mitzvah tashbitu. As I've already explained, the Ran says, according to Rashi, it's in order to fulfill the mitzvah of tashbitu, shechashishu lebnei adam shelo yevatluhu b'machshavtan legamrei. Because maybe a person, again, is not going to get rid of the chametz from his heart and his mind completely. He might, you know, still want to keep those bottles of single malt scotch. Okay? So according to the Ran, the way the Ran interprets Rashi, or I should say according to Rashi, the way that the Ran reads into Rashi, we're concerned with the psychology of the individual, that he might not completely nullify the chametz from his heart, and so he'll still technically be in possession of it. Okay, and that's why the rabbis instituted that he search the home and rid the home of any chametz. Now, Tosfot here in source number 8 also understands this takana, this institution, this rabbinic mitzvah of bedikat chametz, in light of human psychology, but it's very different. According to Tosfot, who says that this declaration has to be made verbally, it's not enough to just do it in one's heart. Tosfot, or the Ri is not as so concerned about a person's intentions when he makes that declaration, because he's declaring it ownerless. But Tosfot is concerned for another reason, that chametz is only prohibited 1 week out of the year. 51 weeks out of the year, chametz is permitted. Chametz is mutar, is permissible. The entire year, it's only 1 week that it's asur. And so Tosfot explains, or the Ri explains here, we'll see in a moment, that the reason why the rabbis instituted bedikat chametz is also, let's call it a psychological reason, but it's because human psychology or human nature is such that a person might make a mistake, might forget that it's Pesach. And he's so used to eating bread the rest of the year, he might come to eat bread on Pesach. So it's not enough. Yes, maybe on a Torah level, not to violate the Isur of Bal Yireh, Bal Yimatzeh, it's enough to just make that verbal declaration and nullify it and declare it ownerless, Hefker, according to Tosfot. But that doesn't address the issue that a person might forget that it's Pesach. And so even if you nullify the, you know, pastry that you got, that muffin that you received on Purim, that hermetically sealed muffin in plastic that lasts for years, right? Maybe on a Torah level, if I make that declaration, if I mivatel all the chametz in my possession, so that would suffice. I'm not over on an Isur Torah of Bal Yireh, Bal Yimatzeh, being in possession of that chametz. But Tosfot is concerned that I might come downstairs Pesach morning after having been up late at night with the Pesach Seder, with the kids and the family and the Haggadah and Kol HaMarbe, Reza Meshubach. And I went to bed really late and I get up and I'm half asleep and I'm making my coffee and I forget that it's Pesach and I find this chocolate muffin that I got in the Mishloach Manot and it's hermetically sealed and I come to eat it. Why? Because I forget that it's Pesach, because chametz is only usur 1 week out of the year. The other 51 weeks, it's permitted. And so therefore, Tosfot explains that the rabbis had to come along and institute the mitzvah of bedikat chametz. Yes, maybe the bittul suffices not to be in violation of owning chametz, being in possession of chametz. But I might come to eat chametz unless, what? I search the home and rid the home. And that's why, we'll see, the Ri explains that the rabbis instituted searching the home and ridding it of the chametz. Take a look here at source number 8. Perush HaKuntris. Rashi explains the reason why we check the home, or la'arbas sarbotkin et ha'chametz, as the Mishnah instructs. Shelo lavor alav bibal yireh u'bal yimatzeh. V'kashe l'ri. And as we saw already in the Ran, this is a kasha, this is difficult for the Ri. Why? Kevin t'tzarich bitul, k'damar b'gmara, ha'bodek t'tzarich she'yvatel. If the rabbis, right, said even one who makes bedika has to do bittul, right, it's interesting. The way the Gemara formulates it is not that someone who says the bittul has to do bedika, but the Gemara says in Pesachim Daf Vav Amud Bet, Amarav Yudah Amarav, Habodek Tzarich Shevatel, one who does bedikat chametz, one who fulfills this rabbinic mitzvah, has to then still make the declaration. So once one is making the declaration, that suffices, the Ri says, not to be in violation of Bal Yireh u'Bal Yimatzeh. Therefore, how does Rashi explain the reason for bedikat chametz as not to be in violation of Bal Yireh u'Bal Yimatzeh? That's accomplished through the bittul, says the Ri. Okay. It's just a big kasha and Rashi. Okay. V'kasha l'ri, kevan t'tzarich bitul, k'damar b'gmara, habodek tzarich shevatel, umidoraita b'vitul ba'almasagi, as we explained, it suffices just to make that bitul. Amai hitzricho chachamim bedika klal. The Ri asks, why do you need this bedika at all? Why did the rabbis institute this bedikat chametz? V'nira l'ri, and it appears to the Ri, da'af al-gav, da'sagi b'vitul ba'alma, hichmiru chachamim livdok chametz ulevaro shelo yavo le'ochlo. Those are the key words, those three words, shelo yavo le'ochlo. The reason why, even though, according to the Gemara, it's enough to make bittul, not to be in violation of owning chametz. It's enough to nullify it. But the rabbis came along and instituted bedikat chametz. Why? Shelo yavo le'ochlo. That one not come to eat chametz on Pesach. That's why you have to check your home. That's why you have to rid the home. V'chein mashma lekaman, and that's the Gemara, and daf yud omet bet, debai rava kikar bishmei kora. The Gemara and daf yud omet bet has an interesting question. Rava asks a question. What if you have a kikar, a loaf of bread that is stuck all the way up bishmei kora on the top of a post, let's say a rafter. Rafters. You have something that's far beyond your reach. And Rava asks, do you have to get a ladder and take it down? Or maybe no. Maybe, you know, the rabbis didn't make someone be matriach himself, right? To have to go ahead and climb up a ladder and get chametz that's impossible to reach. Or maybe, the Gemara says, zimnim dinafel v'ate lemechle. Maybe there are times it is possible when the bread might fall off the rafters and you might come to eat it. What do you mean come to eat it? It's Pesach. So what Tosfot here, or the Ri, is saying is that the Gemara there on Daf Yud, Amud Bet, assumes that, yeah, human nature is such that even on Pesach, someone might forget it's Pesach and might come to eat this loaf of bread that fell off the rafters. Actually, the Gemara there leaves it unresolved. It says, teku. Whether one has to, you know, get a ladder and climb up, okay? But what Tosfot here is saying, and the reason why the Ri quotes that Gemara is because, yes, he assumes that, the Gemara assumes that for some people, yeah, they may forget that it's Pesach, and they may come to eat chametz. And that's why the Ri explains, the rabbis went ahead and instituted bedikat chametz, even though the bittul suffices, okay? Vehatam sheichmiru kan tfei mi bishari sirei hana'a shelo yitzrichu leva'aram mishum dechametz mutar kol hashana velo ne'esar rak bepesach velo b'dilei minei. And we saw this when we saw that tshuva of the Radbaz, where he asks, why is this prohibition different from all other prohibitions? Right? Tosfot here explains that the rabbis were more strict and stringent with the isur of chametz over other types of isurim, even things that one may not benefit from, because chametz is unique. You can't eat it, you can't own it, but you also can't benefit from it, min ha-Torah. There's an isur hana. But there are other isurei hana. However, the other isurei hana, it's different, because, you know, they are prohibited the entire year. However, chametz on Pesach, the prohibition is only 1 week out of the year. And that's why the rabbis were so strict with chametz. And as we said last week, that's why you have all sorts of prohibitions and mitzvot min ha-Torah and midrabanan, and then, you know, chumrot throughout the generations. And that's why they were so strict with chametz. Why? Mishum dechametz mutar kol hashana velo ne'esar rak bepesach velo bedilei minei. Because chametz is only prohibited on Pesach. You skip to the next line where I've underlined, where Tosfot again says, Shani Chametz. Chametz is different. Sheichmira bo Torah la'avor bivalyra eubal yamatzeh. Hichmiru chachamim livdok ulvaro. The Torah itself is machmir. Not only can't one eat it, not only is there a prohibition from getting benefit from it. We have other isurim where you can't eat them, and there's an isur hana. However, here, the Torah itself is machmir. You can't even own it. Right? You have things like chelev and dam, which one may not eat. Right? Can't eat forbidden fats. Can't eat the blood of an animal. So, and those are serious isurim. They are isurei karet. Okay? However, you don't find that there's a prohibition on owning those things. But what Tosfot here says is, since the Torah itself was stringent with this prohibition, saying you can't even own it, it can't even be in your possession, hichmiru chachamim livdoku levaro, afilu eichad bitlu mishum dilma ate lemechle. So therefore, the rabbis came along, and they as well were machmir. and instituted this mitzvah bedikat chametz that one both search the home and destroy any chametz that they find in their possession, right? Lest one come to eat it. That is the concern. And in fact, here the Gemara on Daf Vav Amud Bet in source number 9, where the Gemara says that one who makes bedikat chametz, following the bedikat chametz, still has to make the bittul, which is what we do, of course. We make bedikat chametz, and then we nullify it immediately after. And then we make another bittul in the morning when we burn the chametz, right? So the Gemara asks why, and Rava gives a reason. Gzeira shema yimatze gluska yafa v'da'ate ilavya. That a person might find a nice little muffin, and his mind will be on it, meaning he'll come to eat it. So this idea of the fact that it's human nature and chametz is usur only one week out of the year and the rest of the year it's permitted, you see that the Gemara itself is sensitive to that. That's not the chiddush of Tosfot. However, Tosfot explains the mitzvah of bedikat chametz in light of this, in light of human psychology or human nature. So now I think we understand why we have this mitzvah of bedikat chametz, even though, yes, we've cleaned the home, and even though we've searched the home maybe prior to making bedikat chametz, and we've scrubbed and we've scoured, and our home is chametz free, there's still a mitzvah to do bedikat chametz because the bittul doesn't suffice, either according to Rashi, as explained by the Ran, because a person might not do it wholeheartedly, or according to Tosfot, a person might, make a bittul, but have something still in his closet, and since chametz is permitted the entire year, a person might come to eat it. He might forget that it's Pesach, right? How many times does a person forget that it's Shabbos? And Shabbos is every week. Oops, I turned the light on. I forgot it was Shabbos. Okay, it happens. We're only human. And that's why we have this concept of shogeg. What is shogeg? Either you forgot that it was Shabbos, or you didn't know that this prohibition was prohibited. So you have to bring a korban. You have to bring a korban chatat, a sin offering. Why? What sin did he do? You forgot. Yeah, the sin of forgetting, of being forgetful, or the sin of not knowing that that prohibition was prohibited. The sin of being an am haaretz. Okay. But what about this custom of spreading out 10 pieces of bread? I mean, it's so dangerous. And maybe, not only is it dangerous, but maybe it undermines the entire mitzvah of bedikat chametz, because you're supposed to search the home for Tosfot to make sure that there is no muffin left over from your shaluch manis, because you might come to eat it. So you're supposed to search the home and rid the home of any chametz, and here you're taking 10 pieces of bread and spreading them around, and why 10? It's Kabbalistic. It corresponds to the 10 sfirot, the 10 emanations. But you'd think that, besides the fact that, what are you doing bringing chametz into the home? You already yelled at your kids or grandkids not to bring chametz into the home, and now you're taking 10 pieces of bread and spreading them out all over the home. Besides the fact that it's dangerous, you might forget a piece, you might lose a piece. Okay, so the rabbis say you should make a list and write down the locations. Okay. But besides for the danger, it would seem it undermines the entire purpose of the enactment, the entire purpose of the mitzvah of bedikat chametz, because people do what? They search for those 10 pieces of bread alone. They spend the time looking for those 10 pieces of bread instead of doing a real, sincere search for the home. So it would seem that this minhag undermines the entire mitzvah of bedikat chametz. So it requires a lot of explanation. Okay? Take a look at source number 10. This is a tshuva from Maran, Rav Ovadia Yosef, Chacham Ovadia, from the fifth chelek of his Yechaveh Dat. And he asks, or is asked, Ha'im yesh yisod leminhag zeh? Al piha halacha, where I've underlined. Is there a foundation? Is there a good reason for this custom according to halacha? Maybe it's a minhag ta'ut or a minhag shtut. We've spoken about bad minhagim in the past, improper minhagim that have to be uprooted. So he first quotes the Ravid. in a tshuva. Harayvid b'shelut tshuvot tamim deim katav. Eile hanotnim chametz bechorim ubzdakim b'shat bdikat chametz. Those who place chametz intentionally in the cracks and crevices before b'dikat chametz, or at the time of the mitzvah b'dikat chametz, ma'ase nashim hu ve'ein lo shoresh. It is a ma'ase nashim and has no source. That is the Ravid, one of the great Rishonim. Now, what he means by ma'ase nashim, I don't want to offend anyone here. I already have. Well, it's not me. Take it up with the Ravid. But what he means is that it is a minhag observed by those who are uneducated, the Amei Haaretz. And unfortunately, we know that women, for many, many centuries, many generations, did not benefit from an education. They were not educated. So that's what he means when he says Ma'aseh Nashim. It's a custom of those who are uneducated. And we spoke about this a number of weeks ago. We spoke about how women, unfortunately, were not educated. We looked at a woman's obligation in Torah study. Okay, we saw that a woman does indeed have an obligation in Torah study. At the very least, the mitzvot that a woman is obligated in herself. Otherwise, as the Sefer Chassidim asks, how will she know how to observe Shabbat and the other mitzvot that she's obligated in? So, don't be offended. Don't be offended, okay? But he means it's a minag, it's a, the Amei Haaretz do that. There's no source to it. And why? Why would they do it? What's the reason for it? And we'll see that the reason is because there were those who were afraid maybe of making a bracha levatala. You're making a bracha of albior chametz, but what if you don't find any chametz? So they put out pieces of bread before they search, before they make the bracha, so they'll have something to destroy so that it won't be a bracha levatala. Now the truth is, while this is cited by some of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, we'll see in a moment, the truth is that it's not a bracha levatala, even if you don't find anything. Let's say you are so careful with Pesach cleaning, you make sure no crumbs in the cracks and crevices, there's nothing, you don't let your grandkids bring chametz in the home the entire year. Right? You don't let them have Cheerios, which somehow manage to get everywhere. But, you know, they roll Cheerios. You can always find a Cheerio somewhere. But no, you are certain that there is no chametz, and then you make bedikat chametz, and you don't have, you know, some pita in the freezer, you don't have bread to put out. Oh, I don't have bread to put out for this custom, and you don't do it. And what if Nebuch, you don't find anything? Is it a bracha levatala? The answer is no, because the bracha is on the search. But wait a minute, it says al biur chametz, upon destroying, getting rid of, burning the chametz. No. That's on destroying it should you find any. In other words, the mitzvah is to search the home and destroy the chametz that you find. But if you don't find any, it's not a bracha levatala. The mitzvah is, or the bracha is on the search and on destroying the chametz that you find. But if you don't find, you have still fulfilled the mitzvah of bedikat chametz. Okay? And it's a valid bracha, and it's not a bracha levatala. But that was the concern. And that was the reason for how this minha got started. That there were those who were concerned that maybe if I don't find anything, it's a bracha levatala. Okay? Uv'orchot Chaim hosif. Uv'orchot Chaim adds, She'af alpi shenahagu kein b'kzat mekomot, mipnei shechashashu pen lo yimatza chametz, v'tzia birkato levatala. As I said, maybe you're not going to find anything, and the bracha is going to be a bracha levatala. Mikol makom anu lo chashashnu laze. Right? The Orchot Chaim says, we're not really concerned. Deotenu, kishemivarchim al biur chametz, shenivaer hakol im nimtza. As I said, the kavanah, the intent of the blessing is, al biur chametz, should I find chametz? Okay? V'chein katav hakolbo and others. Skip to where I've underlined next. Gam Rabbeinu Manoach hevi divrei harayvet hanal. Rabbeinu Manoach also brings this statement of the Ravid from this tshuva, where the Ravid says it's not a good minhag. V'iskimimo, and he agrees with him. Sharei ein anu mivarchim al mitziat chametz. We're not making the blessing upon finding chametz. We're making the blessing on destroying chametz if one finds it. Ach b'shibolei haleket katav matzati b'tshuvot kishemivarech al biur eino choshesh im eino motzeh chametz. Shemikom makom nechshav kibiur mashe Mechazer acharav levaro, v'chayav levarech. He also says, no. He finds in a tshuva of the Gaonim that you make this bracha al biur chametz, right? And you're not concerned whether you find, whether you don't find. Why? Because the biur is on what? What you, is really on the search, right? What you're looking to destroy, should you find it, and you have to make that bracha. Aval, achi, Rabbi Binyamin katav, she'eino, sover kein. His brother, Rabbi Binyamin, did not agree. Shekevan shebracha al b'dika, v'ikar b'dika hi habi'ur, al ma yivarech, v'alo eino miva'er. Okay, you said no. The bracha is al biur, so maybe you really need to make sure you destroy something. You have something to destroy. Skipping a line to where I've underlined next. Okay, and then he quotes the Marivayel that the reason is kidesha al yedei kach yiskor levatel hametz lemachar b'shat biur. Gives another reason. Well, maybe you put out pieces of bread not for the mitzvah b'dikat chametz, but for the next morning when you are going to destroy the other chametz in your possession. Let's say you saved a bagel or some cereal, right, to eat on the morning of the 14th, before sof zman achilat chametz, before it's too late to eat chametz, and you want to have breakfast. Well, what you left over, that piece of bagel, you have to burn then. So in order to remember to burn the other chametz that you've left over, that's the reason why the Marivayel explains this minhag of putting out pieces of bread before the bedikah. Okay, and then he quotes the Ramah. V'zo lashon haRamah, v'noagim laniach ptitei chametz b'makom sheyimatzam habodek, kidei shelo tia birkato levatala. The Ramah brings this down in Siman Taf Lamed Bet, that, like we saw before, as some of the Chochmei Ashkenaz explained, the reason for putting out pieces of bread, and by the way, Rama doesn't say you have to put out 10, right? That maybe is a later minhag, rooted in Kabbalah, in Jewish mysticism. As I said, it corresponds to the 10 sfirot, the 10 emanations. But the Rama brings this custom down. Maybe it's a bracha levatala, right? If you don't find anything. And then skip to where I've underlined next, the next line. Vagon Yabetz, b'sefer mor uktzia katav, Yaakov Emdin, in his comments to the tour, he writes the following. Shagon, mar aviv ha-chacham tzvi, his father, harav tzvi ashkenazi, the chacham tzvi, haya lo'eg al ha-menichim ptitim, kidei shimatzam ha-bodek. He would make fun of those. He would scoff at, laugh at those who put out bread at the time of bedikat chametz. Ve'af al-pi she, ha-be'er hetev, Katav Kain b'shem Hari, and even though the Be'er Hetev brings it down in the name of the Ari HaKadosh, who zal yabaki b'chol kidvei Ha'ari, v'shama minei shesover shelo amar Kain Ha'ari me'olam. He says his father, the Chacham Tzvi, was an expert in the writings of the Ari HaKadosh, the Arizal, and he didn't find a source for this in the Ari. U'bemet sheken katav b'sefer Pri Eitz Chaim. Now the Rav Ovadia, who, you know, besides having access to all these Sfarim and had a massive library, also had an encyclopedic mind, okay? So he says it is indeed in the Kitvei Ha'ari, in the Pri Eitz Chaim, which is the work of Rav Chaim Vital. I saw not too long ago when I was in Amsterdam a manuscript of Rav Chaim Vital, okay? And there he does cite this, B'Shem Ha'ari, in the name of his teacher, the Ari. V'chein katav b'sefer shnei luchot abrit, right? The Shla Kadosh, a very important Kabbalistic work, also records the custom to put out pieces of bread. V'chein katav agon Rabbi Chaim Falaji b'sefer Chaim LaRosh, shekein ra'ui la'asot al pi hasod. It's proper to do so according to sod, according to Jewish mysticism, Kabbalah, to put out 10 pieces of bread, which correspond to the 10 sfirot. Okay, fine. So Rav Avadia, Kedarko Bakodesh, brings all these sources for and against. And then he quotes one of the great German Chachamim, Rabbi Moshe Kalfon. Ulu mato, ra'iti lagon, Rabbi Kalfon Moshe HaKohen, b'sefer brit kuhuna, shekatav. You know, many of the Jews of Gerba are Kohanim. Okay. She'adraba, just the opposite. Al yedei hanachat ha'ptitim kim'at batla, Ikar takanat habedika. This is what I mentioned before, that this custom of putting out pieces of bread before Bedikat Chametz, it seems it would serve to undermine the entire mitzvah of Bedikat Chametz. Why? Ki ha-hamon eina mechapsim chametz rak noagim ki mitzvat anashim ilumada umabitim ana v'ana limtso et ha-ptitim bilvad. Because they search, what, these uneducated people, they search for the pieces of bread that they've put out alone. They don't make a real search. They don't search the home. Bachorim u'bizdakim, in all the cracks and crevices, in all the nooks and crannies. Instead, they just search for those 10 pieces of bread alone. And so therefore, the custom undermines the whole takanat chazal. It's hafuch ala hafuch, he writes. This is this is very compelling. This is very compelling. V'choshvim sheze hu ikar mitzvah tabidika, and they make the mistake and think that that is the ikar mitzvah. V'lachen yesh lahorot l'shoalim shelo yanichu aptitim v'kol shekein she'en lidrosh berabim laniach aptitim. Therefore, Rabbi Moshe Kalfon, this great German chacham, says you have to teach people who ask, answer them when they ask about this custom, not to put out the 10 pieces of bread. And all the more so, you should not darshan, he's speaking out of rabbis, they should not speak about it publicly, they should not instruct their flock to put out pieces of bread. It's a bad custom. And I'll just say that for me, this is very compelling. And if it were up to me, right, I would not put out pieces of bread on Erev Pesach in my home, because number one, it's dangerous, right? What if you lose a piece? Then you have to make a whole other bedika. You have to turn the house upside down. We'll see in a moment what Rav Avadi advises. But it serves to undermine the entire takana, the entire mitzvah of bedikat chametz. We explained that the Chachamim wanted you to make sure that you have no chametz in your possession, or, according to Tosfot, to ensure that you're not going to come to make a mistake and eat it on Pesach. Right? Maybe it's enough to make bittul, to nullify the chametz, not to be in violation of owning or being in possession of chametz. But you might have something and you might come to eat it and forget that it's Pesach, because after all, chametz is permitted the entire year. 51 weeks out of the year, it's kosher, it's kosher l'mahadrin, it's badatz. 1 week out of the year, it's usser with the chiyuv of kares. So you have to make sure that you don't have it. It's not around. But if you only search for those 10 pieces of bread, it undermines the whole mitzvah. And so if it were up to me, in my home, I wouldn't put out bread for bedikat chametz, right? Except it's an issue of pikuach nefesh, my own nefesh. Right? My wife and kids would kill me. What do you mean? We're not going to put out bread before bedikat chametz. But I make sure that we make a sincere and real bedikat chametz. That we don't only search for those 10 pieces, but we get under the couch and we get under the bookcases. And by the way, every year we always find something. I mean, I've got small kids. There's always a Cheerio somewhere. Now, Rav Avadia, he defends this custom, and towards the end, where I've underlined next, he writes, "Vida she'ein tzorech shachatichot shel chametz yeh bechol achat mehen shir kezayit." He defends the custom and offers some advice and says, "You know what? Those who have the custom, okay, there is what to rely on. However, who says it has to be a kezayit? Make them really small. Why? So that if you lose one, you don't have to turn the house upside down, because the bittul will suffice. It's pachot mikishi'ur. It's smaller than the size of a kezayit. In fact, today they have these prefab. You know, you don't have to do anything anymore. People don't know how to make Pesach anymore. It used to be that the bedikat chametz set you'd get from some charity would include like a little paper bag and a feather and a candle. Now you can go to the Judaica store in New York and buy 10 pieces of bread in wrappers to burn. Okay? I don't know if it's less than a shir kezayit or not. But Rav Avadia, he defends the custom and says, but make sure it's less than a kezayit. Right? Ela kol shebitziruf kol achatichot yesh shir kezayit. Dai bazeh v'adaraba nachon yoter shetia kol chaticha pchuta mikezayit. Kidei she'im lo yimatzam abodek, lo yitzderech litroach harbei lachzor achareihem. Lachzor achareihem. V'ismoch al bitu hachametz shemavatel lachar abedika. So he instructs one to make them smaller than a kezayit. And so if you lose one, okay, it's not the end of the world. You don't have to turn the home upside down. You can rely on the bitul that you're going to make. Okay? And so at the very end of the tshuva, writes, he defends this custom, writes, hu minhag sheyesh lo smach b'divrei ha'achronim. It has a source. Right? It's not just a minhag ta'ut or minhag shtut, but there is a source for this custom in the Achronim. The al pi ha-kabbalah yesh laniach eser ha-chatichot, aval ein tzorech shefazram dafka basar mikomot. It's also an important piece of advice he adds. He says that what? According to Kabbalah, you put out 10 pieces of bread, as we explained, which correspond to the 10 spherot. But you don't have to put them out in 10 different places all over the home. Right? You can put them all in one room to fulfill this minhag. After all, it's just a minhag. And I will add, as some poskim say, you should make a list of where they all are. Right? Sometimes, you know, the kids put them out and the parents then find them. But it shouldn't be a game. I'll come back to this in a moment. V'chol chatichat mehapat tia pchuta mikazayit. Every piece should be less than a kazayit. V'yatfem b'niyar kidei shelo yitpazru mehapirurim b'bayit shuchshar kodem lachin. And you should wrap them up in paper, right? Paper, not plastic, right? Because you don't want to burn plastic. People burn plastic every year. Biur Chametz, you're smelling that burnt plastic. It's terrible. But he writes that you should wrap them up so that the crumbs don't get around because the home already is kosher l'Pesach, as we said. Right, it's so counterintuitive. You've been spending days, some weeks, already kashering the home for Pesach. And if you don't find one, it's not the end of the world. You don't have to turn the home upside down because it's less than a shir kezayit, and you can rely on the bitul. Now, this tshuva of Rav Avadia, which appears in the fifth chelek of Yechavedat, is very near and dear to my heart because I actually am in possession of the original Tshuva written b'ktav yad kodsho, while Rav Ovadia was the chief rabbi, the Sephardic chief rabbi of the state of Israel, the Rishon Lezion. It's not dated, but it's written on the official stationery of the chief rabbinate, b'ktav yad kodsho, on three small pieces of paper. I'll pass it around. You can take a look at it, and you'll see, and just how organized this is. These are written, this tshuva is written on these three pieces of paper that are unlined. This is unlined paper. And you see how neat and organized his handwriting was, his penmanship was. And so I think it expresses just how, I'm not a, you know, handwriting analyst. I know there are people that specialize in handwriting analysis. But for me, you see how organized his mind was and how organized his tshuvot are. So I'll pass this around for you to look at. And I'll just say in conclusion that no, Bidikat Chametz is not a game. It's an important mitzvah, as we explained this morning, with tremendous gains. But it shouldn't be a game and it shouldn't be treated as such. And one shouldn't just search for those 10 pieces of bread that they put out if they do so, for reasons we explained, but rather it should be a sincere search, a real search. And even though, yes, the home is already clean for Pesach, and maybe it's been kosher l'Pesach for days, it's still a real sincere search. And I always compare it to when you leave a hotel room. I don't know if you do this, but I always do this when I leave a hotel room. As you know, I travel frequently, and I sometimes find myself in a hotel. And before you leave the room, your stuff is all packed. You've gone through all the closets and all the drawers, and you went to the bathroom to make sure you didn't leave your toothbrush, right? And you looked under the bed even, and you pulled up the comforter, the blankets, make sure there's nothing underneath the blankets, nothing underneath the bed. And the bags are already packed, and maybe they're already by the door. You're waiting for the bellhop to come and help you with your luggage. But you still go ahead, even though you know that you haven't left anything in the room because you've checked it so many times already. You still make that one last search. And it's a real search. It's a sincere search because you don't want to leave anything behind, even your toothbrush. You might need it. It's a real search. So too, I think that should be the attitude towards Bidikat Chametz. It's not a game. Right? One should not just look for those 10 pieces of Chametz. That undermines the whole purpose of this mitzvah, midrabanan, this rabbinic mitzvah, this takanat chazal. Even though you know that the home is clean and you're already cooking for Pesach and you have a sign on your door, kasher l'Pesach, no chametz is allowed to enter. You don't let your kids or grandkids come in with any chametz already for days. But you do that one last sincere search, just like you do when you leave a hotel room. That's my mashal. Okay, that's how I understand this mitzvah. So it's not just some act. It's not just some game. It's a real sincere search. And with that, I will wish you all a chag kasher v'sameach. It should be a time of redemption for us as a nation and us as individuals. We'll see you all, Be'ezrat Hashem, the Wednesday following Pesach.